Ave Maria, my name is Father Andre of the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate. Today's talk is a talk given by Canon Francis Ripley. The author is well acquainted with the Legion's founder, the late Frank Duff, and having worked closely in the Legion for many decades, is well qualified to speak about this organisation, which has proved itself to be a marvellous help to missionaries in their task of evangelisation. This is the first part of an article which we believe will interest many apostolic-minded readers. How did the Legion of Mary start? A conference of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul was meeting in a property known as Myra House in Francis Street, Dublin, towards the end of the First World War. Francis Street is in that poor old part of Dublin, which lies around the Protestant Cathedral of St. Patrick's. Nearby is the old Catholic Church of St. Nicholas of Myra. It must have been about 1917 when a number of ladies were asked to help the St. Vincent de Paul brothers in serving free breakfast to poor children on Sundays. After some time, the free breakfasts were discontinued, but the women remained on, forming with the brothers a recruiting centre for the Pioneer Total Abstinence Association. They held regular meetings in Myra House and used the prayer card of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, adding 5 decades of the rosary. There was spiritual reading too, followed by the minutes of the previous meeting. Members gave their reports on recruiting campaigns and on any other apostolic activity on which they may have been engaged. Religious and doctrinal subjects were discussed also, as well as practical ways of helping others and doing good for the church. The meeting usually began on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. and ended with the recitation of the Angelus announced by the 6 o'clock bell. These meetings continued until some time in August 1921. The time is significant because just then events which were to shake the world were taking place in Russia. The date was 1917, the very year in which the first seeds of the future Legion of Mary were sown. It is in that particular time when Frank Duff was introduced to the book True Devotion to Mary. In March of that year, striking workers of Petrograd seized the capital. The emperor abdicated on March 15th. In July, Lenin staged an unsuccessful uprising. On November the 7th, the Bolsheviks seized power. According to the old-style calendar, it was October, and so this is known as the October Revolution. The Communist Party was formed in 1918, and it was at the same time that the Fatima message of prayer for the conversion of Russia, that until it converts will be the cause of errors throughout the world. And with the mission of the Immaculate formed by St. Maximilian Kolbe 4 days after the last apparition of Fatima, the Legion of Mary was coming into existence in the formation of Frank Duff, who, as I've mentioned earlier, had been introduced to the book True Devotion to Mary by Louis Green de Montfort, and who was being asked to persevere with his reading of the book. Eventually, by divine providence, the Mary of Genesis, the mother of Jesus, our mother, the mother of God, became the answer of divine providence to godless communism. Many things have appeared since which lead us to think that this may well be so. Clearly, early on, a pilgrimage of the Legion to Lourdes was planned. What colour will Our Lady's people wear in the procession of the Blessed Sacrament? Somebody asked. Blue was excluded, for that was recognised as the colour for the children of Mary. The only material available at the time is sufficiently large quantities to make the cloaks required was red, so red, the colour of communism, became the colour of Mary's Legion, red also for the precious blood, the Holy Spirit, and martyrdom. Many years later, when it was imperative for the church in China to prepare itself for imminent communist persecution, divine providence arranged that the apostolic internuncio there should be Archbishop Ribieri, who had come to know the Legion when he was a secretary at the Apostolic Nunciature in Dublin, and who, as apostolic delegate for East Africa, had given so much help to Adel Quinn. He called on the Legionary to prepare the Catholics of China for the communist onslaught. The results are well known. The Legion was singled out as communists' most successful and dangerous enemy, and its members honoured by being imprisoned, tortured, and even martyred. Other points of resemblance there are to the Latin names used, the method of working in cells and through personal contact. All this emphasises that the Legion of Mary was raised up in the church by the providence of God. We as legionaries have immense responsibility to be faithful to the constitution enshrined in our handbook. Grace comes to us in so far as we are loyal and zealous members of this worldwide army of the Queen of Heaven. Providence arranged that from the start the little group of apostles, which was later to be known as the Legion of Mary, should be under the direction of the priests of the parish in which they met. Their names ought to be recorded because they were largely responsible for the developments which later took place. They were Father Teuher and his friend Father Creton. Divine Providence also brought it about that one of the topics frequently discussed at the first meetings was the form of devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, which was recommended by one who was then little known, Blessed Gurion de Montfort. Comparatively, few people knew about it then, and even those who were discussing it had not clearly grasped its essential idea. They were all deeply interested, so much so that a special meeting was called to examine this devotion. Of that meeting, one of those concerned says, "I have often tried to place that particular event. It must have been almost immediately before the start of the Legion. It was just like making an electric connection and something happens. We spent the evening talking about the devotion. Then at once the Legion happened. Straight away after the meeting, some of the ladies asked if they could not do the kind of work which the St. Vincent de Paul brothers were doing and visit the Union Hospital every Sunday. They were advised to seek support for their venture, and a meeting was arranged for the following Wednesday. It was the eve of Our Lady's birthday, September the 7th, 1921, at 8 o'clock in the evening, when 15 ladies met Mr. Frank Duff and Father Teuher in the usual meeting room in Myra House, Francis Street. They were surprised to find that one of their number had prepared an altar for the meeting. The table, which was usually bare, was now covered with a white cloth on which stood the statue of the Immaculate Conception. Two vases with flowers and two candlesticks were lighted. The Queen was waiting for these first recruits of an army, which was to become one of the greatest phenomena the Church has ever known. Invocation and prayer to the Holy Ghost were said, followed by five decades of the Holy Rosary and the spiritual reading. Then all, unknowing, those 17 people began to map out the Legion of Mary. Under whose auspices were they to work? They wondered. The answer came at once. They had come together to serve the Queen of Heaven. They decided on a weekly meeting and weekly active work. The setting should be the same as that first meeting, and all those prayers would be said. As to work, they would undertake the systematic visitation of the Dublin Union Hospital. They would visit in pairs, each pair going to a ward. They decided that each week they would undertake active apostolic work, which had to be substantial. The giving of material relief was excluded because That was already being done in the right spirit by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. A president and a secretary were appointed. The president was a lady born in Australia, Mrs. Kirwin. Those early members say that she ruled with the proverbial rod of iron. She was the only elderly person there, but the young ones loved and trusted her. She was the poorest person in the room, and thus, from the start, the note was struck that in Mary's Legion there were to be no social or worldly distinctions. So with the first vespers of Our Lady's birthday, the Legion of Mary was finally ushered into the world. For years the preparation work had gone on, but it was over. The hand was set to the plough, a work greater than any other undertaken by organised laity in the 19th centuries of the church history had started. Every presidium had a strict duty to maintain the spirit of the organisation to which it belongs. Once the name of the Legion of Mary is adopted, the members accept with it the strict obligation of being faithful in every detail to the constitution set out in the handbook. Nobody has any right to deviate from that constitution. Infidelity always means deprivation of grace. The Church has approved of the Legion of Mary as it is described in its official handbook. Those who do not wish to observe the rules of the handbook should start some other organisation. But from the start, it is as well to recall that the handbook itself says in the beginning, if past experience is an indication, no branch of the Legion will fail which is worked faithfully according to rule. The Legion is a system which can be thrown out of balance by suppressing or altering any of its parts. Of it could the following verse have been written: pluck one thread, and the web ye mar. Break but one of a thousand keys, and the paining jar through all will run. So, if unprepared to work the system exactly as described in these pages, please do not start the Legion at all. When the Legion began, there was an area in Dublin notorious for its ladies of the street. It has gone down in history as Bentley Place. 31 street girls lived there. Everybody took it for granted that their conversion was completely hopeless. The Legion of Mary visited them and suggested that they should go on a retreat. That simple sentence hides many highly dramatic details. But the result is historic. 23 of those girls went on retreat to the Convent of Mercy at Baldoyle, and afterwards took up residence in the first of the hostels opened in the emergency by the Legion of Mary. That was in July 1922. The hostel called Santa Maria is still doing magnificent work for the same type of girls in Harcourt Street, Dublin. At this time, the movement was known as the Association of Our Lady of Mercy. By 1924, four more groups had been founded, and in November of that year, a central council was formed consisting of the officers of each group. In November 1925, the name Legion of Mary was adopted. While other works went on, a special effort was made to tackle the problem of the down and out, which was very serious at that time in Dublin. In March 1927, a forbidding and squalid-looking room, the old North Dublin workhouse, was offered by the authorities to the Legion of Mary, rent-free on condition that they did their own repairs. By now, there were 13 presidia in Dublin, so far only of women. To meet the demands of the new work, men were recruited. Young and old, they came to offer their services. The old workhouse was prepared, and on the Feast of the Annunciation, March the 25th, 1927, a hostel for destitute men was opened and called after Our Lady, the Morning Star. It has grown into one of the best-known institutions in the whole world, Now 200 men may be accommodated there any night. They find cleanliness, food, friendliness, comfort, and above all a deeply religious atmosphere through which many have found their way back to the practice of their religion. In autumn 1930, a similar hostel called after Our Lady, Queen of Heaven, Regina Chaley, was opened nearby. Not only does this hostel care for women who are poor, destitute down and out, but it has done and is doing splendid work for the unmarried mother. In fact, the development of this side of the apostolate of the Regina Chaley has set a headline for the Catholic world. The policy has always been to encourage the mothers to look after their own children who go out to school like other children while their mothers go to work and all return to the evening to home at Regina Chaley where special family units are at their disposal. In 1927, the first presidium outside of Dublin was formed at Waterford. April 1928 saw the Legion for the first time outside Ireland, at Glasgow. By 1932, there were 32 presidia in and around Glasgow. On May 31st, Feast of Our Lady Mediatrix of All Graces, 1929, the first presidium in England was formed at the Sacred Heart Convent, Hammersmith, London. By September 1929, there was a presidium in Newcastle, and Liverpool had two by the following December. The first St. Artis, the governing body of England, was set up on August 3, 1930 in London. Soon a London legionary went to India, and on February 2, 1931, a presidium was founded in Madras. A previous autumn, an American Vincentian priest was returning home from Dublin through Paris. In Dublin, he had never heard the Legion of Mary mentioned, but he did hear it in Paris. What he heard so impressed him that he returned at once to the Irish capital, studied the Legion, and wrote an article in an American theological magazine entitled, "Is This the Long-Looked-For Church Society?" The result was the foundation of the Legion of Mary in the New World. For the record, let it be stated that the first presidium was founded at Raton, New Mexico, on November 27, 1931, and it was composed of men. The following autumn, a foundation was made in Canada when a presidium at Cowichan Indians was set up at Duncan, BC. So the forward march began. Now the Legion of Mary is recognised as a most powerful organisation of the lay apostolate. It has spread into more than 1,200 dioceses all over the world and is still constantly and rapidly expanding. It has met and passed all the tests, including martyrdom. Indeed, the finger of God is there. There are many reasons why the Legion of Mary has developed in such a unique way since its foundation. One of them is surely the excellence of its handbook. In this book is enshrined the essence of the Legion system, which is not only a means of undertaking apostolic work, but a way of life designed to result in a high degree of holiness. Men eminent in the Church have stated their opinion that the Handbook of the Legion of Mary is one of the greatest manuals of practical spirituality ever to be written in the whole history of the Church. Even by legionaries, it is not valued as it ought to be. Let us see what the Handbook contains. Incorporated in this constitution of the Legion of Mary are valuable pages on the nature and dignity of the lay apostolate, tucked away in unexpected places, for example, in the pages which deal with objections which may be anticipated, are many gems of practical wisdom. One finds, too, outlined in great detail, the rules of the government and organisation of the Legion throughout the world. There are chapters of sound doctrine, high spirituality, dealing with devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Holy Trinity, the Eucharist, as sacrifice and sacrament, the mystical body of Christ, symbolic action, the seeking of conversions to church and the practice of most of the basic virtues of the spiritual life. In addition are many precious quotations from Catholic writers of all the centuries. There are pages too explaining the technique of apostleship, the method of visiting, the running of a meeting, the giving of reports, the attitude towards criticism, missionary work, and a host of similar matters. Here we will quickly go through the handbook from beginning to end, picking out some of the key sentences which will give you a quick understanding of the Legion as a whole. No branch of the Legion will fail which is worked faithfully according to rule. So if unprepared to work the system exactly as described in these pages, please do not start the Legion at all. The object of the Legion of Mary is the sanctification of its members by prayer and active cooperation under ecclesiastical guidance in Mary's and the Church's work. The spirit of the Legion of Mary is that of Mary herself. The secret of all success with others lies in the establishment of personal contact, the contact of love and sympathy. At the bottom of all really fruitful work must be the readiness to give oneself entirely. Real achievement is dependent upon sustained effort. The Legion's trust in Mary is limitless, knowing that by the ordinance of God her power is without limit. The Legion believes that the formation of apostles cannot be effected at all without the accompaniment of the work itself. Standards for membership should not go beyond those which the popes have had in mind when they declared that in any class whatever, an elite should be formed and trained to the apostolate. Difficulties which seem so formidable in advance resemble a forest, which at a distance appears solid and impenetrable, but when one approached is easy found an entry. In talking of work of grace, let none be so worldly prudent as to ignore the existence of grace. Perfection of membership is to be estimated according to exact adherence to the system. Foremost in its system, the primary obligations of each member, the Legion sets the duty of attendance at its meetings. What an ideal, a whole population organized for God, and yet this is no mere ideal. It is the most practical and possible thing in the world today, if eyes are but uplifted and arms folded. The Legion prayers and the Legion system are invariable. Members are not at liberty to vary the rules and practices as they choose. The officers should give a report to the presidia of each meeting of the curia. It is an essential duty of the presidium to raise up and preserve around itself a strong body of auxiliaries. It should be regarded as a necessary part of the system for each presidium to conduct a junior presidium. The whole idea of organization is the unification of the many. From the member up through the ascending grades of authority in the Legion must a principle of connection exist. The cement of this connection is loyalty, the loyalty of the member to the presidium, of the presidium to its curia, of curia to senatus, and of senatus to the consilium legionis, and to the ecclesiastical authorities everywhere. The duty of extension is not for the higher councils alone, nor for curia officers alone. It is the duty of each member of the curia, nay more, it is the duty of each individual legionary. The honouring of legion devotion to Mary by serious meditation and zealous practice is placed on each member as a solemn trusteeship to the legion. It is to be regarded as an essential part of the legionary duty, ranking before any other obligation or membership. The imitation of Mary's humility in both the root and the instrument of legion action and real devotion to Mary obliges apostleship. Legionaries should undertake De Montfort true devotion to Mary. Where timidity, which is commonly called human respect, is allowed free play, all work for souls is reduced to triviality. Every member should accordingly be given the capacity to study the handbook thoroughly. To the mass must the legionary have recourse if a plenteous sharing in the gifts of redemption is desired for oneself and for others. The legion urges and employs each member to assist frequently, every day, if at all possible, at mass, and at that mass to receive Holy Communion. The Eucharist is the centre and source of grace. It must be the very keystone of the legionary scheme. Legionary service is based on the doctrine of the mystical body of Christ. Legionary duty requires of each legionary first the punctual and regular attendance at the weekly meetings of the presidium and the furnishing there of an adequate and audible report on the work done. Second, the daily recitation of the catena
Third, the performance of a substantial act of legionary work in the spirit of faith and in union with Mary in such fashion that in those worked for and in one's fellow members, the person of our Lord is once again seen and served by Mary, his mother. Fourth, the preservation of an absolute secrecy in regard to all matters discussed at the meeting of learned in connection with legionary work. As a principle, every presidium should be doing some work which can be called heroic. The visitation of homes thus traditionally been the preferred work of the legion, its special occupation everywhere, its avenue of greatest good, the apple of its apostolic eye. It is the duty of each legionary to gain auxiliaries and to try to keep in touch with them. Active work must be done. Material relief must not be given. Legionary visitations must not be regularly utilised for the collection of money. The essence of religious work is its desire to reach every individual. No one is too bad to be uplifted, none too good. A vague apostolate is of little value. Visitation should be carried out in pairs. The work is to be appointed and controlled by the presidium, and each one work for the legionary sees the service of God. Every door opens to the humble and respectful legionary. The rule is short, spread abroad the reins of the sacraments and the popular devotions, and sin will melt away before you. Infinite patience and sweetness must be lavished on a priceless soul. The Church has no other reason for its existence than to extend over the earth the kingdom of Christ and so be a render all men shares of his saving redemption. The faith must be brought to the notice of every person outside the Church. The approach to be really effective must be an individual and intimate one, like to that which the Divine Shepherd would make in such a search. The aim in all discussion should be to make those outside the Church catch a glimpse of the treasure which are within. Souls are not approached except with Mary. The purpose of the Legion is to mirror Mary. If true to this ideal, the Legion will share her crowning gift to cast light into the hearts of those who are in the darkness of unbelief. Each convinced Catholic, however imperfect his knowledge, has a certain mental picture of his faith and possesses the capacity to convey his impression to the mind of another whom he seeks to influence. But he will not exercise that capacity unless moved thereto by force of organization of other strong impulse. The Legion of Mary, depending for its very life on devotedness to Mary and imitation of her, must be full of charity. Then only will it bring charity to the world. Ave Maria.